Blog Talk Radio.
All right, fans, here we go. 4 2-minute rounds of boxing scheduled. Women's in the ring. Welcome, Fight Fans, here to another edition of the 2-Minute Round on the Leave It in the Ring Network. My name is Felipe Leon, your co-host, but more importantly, with us from somewhere in Riverside, Mr. David Avila. David Avila, how are you doing today?
Very, very good. How are you, everybody?
Good. I'm doing great. And in Phoenix, Arizona, I'm pretty sure, pretty glad that we're now officially in the fall and not in the summer, since it gets really toasty out there in Phoenix. Former fighter Elena Baby Doll Reed. Elena, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Great. Well, we have another great show here, episode number 13 of the 2-Minute Round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. We're going to have a very special call. One of the I remember when she started boxing a while back. I was actually in the house when she won her bantamweight world title, WBO, against Angel Gladney back in the day. It was actually on the undercard of a Canelo Alvarez fight against Carlos Valdomir. But now we can consider her somewhat of a veteran of the boxing sport. We're going to have, I think she's a two-time bantamweight champion, Miss Kalisha Wild Wild West, on the show. Hopefully she will be calling in about 15-20 minutes. She's going to give us the lowdown of what's going on with her recently in the boxing career. About a month and a half ago, we announced that she had signed with a new promoter in the scene, but we have not seen her in the ring just yet, so we're going to ask her what is going on with that. But before we go there, or while we wait for her to call in, we do have some fight results, not that many. Some female fight chatter and some upcoming calendar. Little bit slow in the boxing panorama all around, male and female. But we do have some news and some notes and some fight results. Starting off on Friday, September 9th, from Argentina, the veteran, the Tigresa, Marcela Acuña, scored a unanimous decision over fellow Argentinian Brenda Carvajal in a 10-rounder, defending her interim WBA featherweight title. The scores there were 100-90.5, and I will tell you why it was a half there, 99-91 and 98-92. The reason why is because they were following Argentina's commission's rules, and they don't allow for a tie in a round, so they enforce a half point if needed. And one of the judges decided to give her a half point. So she actually scored 100-90.5 on one of the scorecards. I actually just watched this fight before going live. And Marcela Acuña, who is going to be 40 years old next month, I think she can compete with anybody in that division right now. One thing about her that I noticed is that she's not necessarily great at one thing. She's not very powerful. She's not very fast. She's not over ultra aggressive, but she does everything very, very well. She's very methodic. She's very, she provides a lot of pressure, and she closes off the ring very, very well. And I think that's why she is one of the best in the sport. And I don't want to say legends, but one of the big names of the sport. David, you get a chance to watch this fight, or Elena?
I did watch a clip of it, and you always learn something from watching her, because she's so polished. She just knows what she's doing. She's a master. She kind of reminds me of a Mexico's male boxer, Juan Manuel Marquez. She just knows her crap, and she's wonderful to watch.
Yeah, it's very methodic. Doesn't get too excited. Even if she's scoring good punches, she doesn't go for the kill, which might be a little bit of a critique, but she's just very, very on top of everything that she's doing.
Yeah, no, I watched clips of it as well, and I agree completely. Like, I'm almost like losing my head, kind of thinking about her, and you know, it's like one of my favorite things in boxing is just she's got that boxing movement down. And you said she doesn't go for the kill. It must be like her frame of mind. You know, she's just really like a robot. Like, she knows she's gone over these things over and over and over again and really honed her craft. And, you know, just beautiful to watch. And one of the things that I love about boxing, because you always, you know, it is exciting to watch people who are really strong or really fast. But the thing is, like, you know, by the book, the science of boxing, like, you just do it right, you're going to win fights. And so that's what's fun about watching her.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's a great point, Elena, that she does everything by the book. But she's great to watch. Not too flashy or anything, but she gets the job done. And you know, and she wins. And hopefully soon, you know, the one thing about her is that she doesn't fight too often. And now that she's getting a little bit older, you know, that might be one of the reasons. But it would be great to watch her against the bigger names of that division, because that division is you know, heating up. Like last week or last couple of weeks when we had on the last show, we had Jelena Miranovic, who is the WBA and WBO champion. WBC champion. Marcela Cunha, the interim WBA champion. So we would expect for her to be – for that fight to at one point be mandated by the division, but you never know, you know. You never know what the division is, what they're actually thinking of doing. But it would be part of the rules that she would have to, you know, somehow challenge for the full-fledged title that Jelena holds. As we know, Jelena is going to be traveling to France, Paris, as she told us, on October 8th to defend her titles against Gael Amand, an undefeated fighter out there, who is about, I believe, 14 or 16 and 0. So we would have to see what would happen after that, and if Jelena would defend against Marcela. You know, one thing that David asked Jelena in the last show is that she has fought everybody, but I think that she has never fought Marcela Cunha, right, David?
Oh, correct. She's not. I don't think she's fought her.
No, I'm just looking at her record right now, and she has not fought her. So, you know, that'd be a great fight to watch and to see before Marcela ends up hanging up the gloves. Like I mentioned, she's gonna be 40 years old in October, on October 16th. Just to give you a couple of names of fighters that she has defeated. She has defeated Jasmine Rivas, who at one point was the WBC bantamweight champion. She actually dropped two fights to Alicia Ashley, who is the WBC super bantamweight champion, and she also lost to Christy Martin Lucia Riker. But other than that, she has been in the likes of Jasmine Rivas, like I mentioned. She's been in her fellow Argentina, Alejandra Oliveira, Jackie Nava. She actually beat Alicia Ashley in their third fight. She beat Carolina Raquel Duer, who is a title holder right now. Actually, she lost to her, I'm sorry. She beat Edith Soledad Matisse, who fought Jelena Miranovic and who was a WBA title holder. So she's fought a lot of named fighters and beaten them. She actually beat Edith Soledad Matisse twice. So hopefully that would be a great fight for 2017, a fight between Marcela Cunha, La Tigresa, and Jelena Miranovic. Hopefully that we get to see that fight.
Oh yeah, that would be impressive. Those two fighters are very, very tough.
It looks like Elena had a little bit of a technical difficulty and she dropped from the call, but she will be calling back and we'll let her on as soon as she comes on. But moving on Saturday, September the 10th, the day after Marcela beat Brenda Carvajal out there in Argentina, in Sweden, a kind of a surprise, you're back, right, Elena?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, great. Kind of a surprise result here. Clara Svensson defeated Michaela Loren via unanimous decision in a welterweight title fight. It was for the interim WBC title. Scores there were 98-92, 97-93, and a closer 96-95. David, were you as surprised as I was that Clara Svensson was able to pull that off?
Well, you know, it's funny because I had never really seen her fight. And I saw some clips of her, and I said, oh, she's a boxer. She's a very good boxer. And basically that's what I read happened. She actually outboxed Michaela Loren. and one going away.
Yeah, and there was a huge fight out there in Sweden. It was the first time that two Swedes had actually faced each other in quite some time. And, you know, Mikaela Lauren, with her personality, she's very charismatic, and she really likes to talk a lot of smack and even do a couple things. Like, we've seen her spill water on an opponent at the weigh-in, and at this weigh-in or at the press conference, she actually presented Clara Swenson with a cake that has 16-2, which she thought would have been the record of Swenson's if Lauren would have won. And a lot of people were expecting for Mikaela Lauren to win, but I saw pictures of her afterwards. She got kind of beat up, and you're right. I did see the same clip. David and Clara looked like she outboxed her, and by the scorecards, it looked like she did. So now it was rumored before, and it was talked about before, that the winner of that fight would win the right to challenge Cecilia Breakhouse in the near future, hopefully in the first quarter of 2017, for all the belts, because that's what they were talking about. So now Clara Swenson has won that right to face Cecilia Breakhouse. On the same night, but in L.A., Sinisa Estrada took a unanimous decision over former title challenger Nancy Franco in a flyweight eight-rounder. Scores there were 80-72 three times. And as what I read, they actually announced Nancy Franco as the winner. And then, obviously, the announcer admitted that he had made a mistake and gave the right result for Sinisa Estrada. David, you were in the house for that fight. Tell us about the fight and what actually happened.
Well, what happened is that Sinisa actually fought her fight. She finally fought the way she usually fights. I've been watching her for many, many years, and she's a boxer. And she thoroughly outboxed Nancy Franco, hardly ever got touched, just turned her and used her angles and hit her and got out, hit her and got out. Not necessarily running, but just staying out of range. And she was just too quick. Much too quick for Nancy Franco. But she never tried to bang it out like she did in the previous fights. And that was good, because that's her style. She's a boxer. And she thoroughly won every round. And the whole arena was shocked when the announcer said that Nancy Franco had won. You could hear a groan, like, what? a few of the Mexican press were cheering. Huh. He immediately said, "Oh, I made a mistake." And then they said, "Oh, okay." It's clear that the guy who does the announcing, I think he needs glasses, because he looked like he was trying to look at the scorecards and he couldn't read them correctly. I said, "You better put on those glasses next time."
So, David, you mentioned that she kind of fought more of a Sinisa Estrada fight, the Estrada that maybe we have seen in the past, where she's very athletic, switching from orthodox to southpaw, darting in and out. And it wasn't as, you know, upfront as it was against Mandy Fuentes on the Velasco Theater card, which was a couple months ago. So what you're telling me, or what I'm trying to gather, is it was not as entertaining as that Velasco Theater fight?
Well, it was entertaining if you're a Sinisa Estrada fan, because she just thoroughly hit her at will, especially with a jab and quick combinations, and then she'd get right out of range after delivering her combinations. And Nancy Franco maybe hit her cleanly maybe three times the whole fight. There wasn't that many punches coming the other way. But she was always the aggressor. Nancy Franco was always the aggressor, but Sinisa just wouldn't allow her to hit her cleanly. And it wasn't like in the other fights where Sinisa walked away with a lot of bruises and welts. And this one, she looked as clean as she went, as she did coming in, as she did going out. She had no marks on her face whatsoever.
So now it looks like the tough question here is, who are they going to face Sinisa Estrada again? I mean, obviously Sinisa is still developing. She's 8-0 with only one knockout, but she's fought some tough fighters in her last three fights. I mean, Christina Fentis turned out to be a little bit tough. Selena Lopez turned out to be a little bit tough. So who are they going to match her that is not too much of a step up where she could keep developing, but then it's not such a soft touch like this Nancy Franco, who was actually coming up from the strawweight division, and it's going to provide her with a little bit more of a challenge so that she could develop. So that's going to be a tough question for the Estrada team and who they end up matching her with next. One thing that I did see on the social networks is that I don't know the particulars. I don't know the details. I just saw it, and I think it's worth mentioning that Nancy Franco is claiming that she has not gotten paid, or she has not gotten paid her full amount, and she was actually accusing one of the members of Estrada's team of him being the responsible person of why she has not gotten paid. So she was looking to get paid. So hopefully it's some kind of misunderstanding and she does get paid, because that doesn't look good for, one, the promoter, which was K2 Boxing. Obviously, the same night, Mr. Tom Loeffler, the president of the company, was not in the house. He was in London with Gennady Golovkin. And two, it doesn't bode well for female boxing, because you never want to hear about a fighter who did what they needed to do, even though they lost, not get paid.
So then the commission too?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that she got some kind of check from the commission, because that is the rule in California where the promoter has to sign a check. But I don't know if they had a different understanding outside of the commission, and that is maybe her mistake by doing something like that, because obviously if the commission is not involved, then one or the other party can do whatever they want. But I don't know. I just saw her post something on social networks stating that she had not gotten paid in full, and she was accusing one of Estrada's team members of being the responsible party. So hopefully they work that out.
Yeah, that sounds kind of strange, because according to the Muhammad Ali Act, you got the commission gives that check. There's no other person that gives you money on the side or whatever.
It's all contracted before the fight, like in writing. So that is awkward.
She made a deal on the side. I mean, this is boxing. I mean, you know, the red light district of sports. So side deals are made all the time and things like that. You know, she's coming in from Mexico. She doesn't want to get. Maybe she's complaining that she got charged taxes, because I know that K2, you know, does everything by the book, and they taxed her. And maybe the guy told her that contractor, hey, you're not gonna get taxed. And at the end of the day, she did get taxed. And things like that. So I don't know the details. I just saw her post. She was complaining. You know, hopefully they work it out.
Yeah.
We can look into that too.
Yeah. On Saturday, September 17th, from Poland, Iwa Piatkowska scored a unanimous decision against Alexandra Lopes in a 10-rounder for the vacant WBC Super Welterweight Champion. So we have a new champion there in the Super Welterweight division. No scores were announced, but they were not recorded on BoxRec, so I'm not able to give you the scores on that fight, but the result that was recorded is a unanimous decision. This Iwa Piatkowska, 10-1 with 4 knockouts, 32 years old, her only loss coming to another Ewa Brownica. So, you know, 154-pounder over there, not that many women in that weight division, unfortunately. But you know, she's a world champion now, and that would be a matter of her facing some of the best in that division. Going down the line, we got Ana Gabriel, one of my favorite boxers. She's from Costa Rica, 16-1. She could be a future opponent for this Ewa Piatkowska. We also have Oxandia Castillo, who you heard the name, and she's fought some big names. She's only 21 years old, right, Oxandia Castillo. And then also the American, Alicia Napoleon, 7-0, ranked number 6 in the world in the super welterweight division. So that could be another challenge for Ewa Piatkowska, the new WBC welterweight champion out of Poland. And lastly, let me check. Actually, let me check this result real quick, because last show we talked about this huge Japanese all-female fight card that was going to go down in Japan, where we're going to have about 9 female fights.
Yeah.
And when I was writing the notes for the show yesterday, the result was not up yet, because this fight actually happened yesterday, Wednesday, the 21st of September, in Tokyo, Japan. And looking at the result, we got a split decision. Kumiko Sisid Ikehara scored a split decision win over Kayoko Ibata to retain her WBO minimum or strawweight title, 102 pounds. Is that the minimum weight?
Yeah,
that's minimum weight. 102 pounds. No, 105.
Yeah, 105.
Is it 105?
Yeah.
I thought it was 102.
At,
what's 102?
Adam weight.
Adam 105.
Adam weight. Adam weight. So then she ended up winning. So she retained her title there with a split decision. No scores are being reported right now as a far box wreck. And then, you know, the rest of the fights were good scraps. You know, we had 3-0 against 0-1. We had 3-2 against a 4-0 and stuff like that. So it looked to be a great fight card out there in Japan, all female, last night, or well, whatever it is last night in Japan, where in relation to here, to the United States. So that brings us to the end of our fight results for the last couple of weeks. We are waiting for two-time bantamweight champion Kalisha Wild Wild West to give us a call here on the two-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. If you want to give us a call and talk to us, we know you're out there. We know you're listening. So because we get we get the numbers of the people that have listened. So if you want to give us a call in, you can do so at 347-215-7598 here on the Leave It in the Ring Network, 347-215-7598 here at the two-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. So we're going to move on to our female fight chatter while we wait for Kalisha West to give us a call. She should be calling any minute here. And then we'll go into a very exclusive interview with her. She has really not been much in the media because she has not fought in a little bit. And we'll go over that, the reason because of that, and what's next for her when we get her on the phone. But going on to the female fight chatter, in a great matchup, it was announced this past week, former champion Esmeralda Moreno, who is still waiting for her rematch against Jessica Chavez, will be facing former champion Melissa McMorrow in Mexico City live on Televisa, the biggest network in Mexico, on October 22nd. So this fight was actually just announced last week in our last show, episode number 12. We talked about how Esmeralda Moreno had actually gotten the WBC to mandate the rematch between her and Jessica Chavez, one of the female fight of the year candidates, which went down, I think it was in July, a very close fight. And the WBC, yeah, will mandate it, but once you guys fight a fight before that, and then you guys could work it out between you guys. So Jessica Chavez will be fighting as well, and we'll go into who she's fighting in our calendar. But on October 27th, second, Melissa McMorrow, who is no stranger to Mexico, having fought Mariana Juarez down there, Kenny Enriquez, and I believe one or two other fighters in Mexico, will be going back down to Mexico City this time to face Esmeralda La Joya Moreno. David, let's start with you. What do you think about this fight?
I think it's a great fight. Melissa's always – well, she was on our show earlier in the year. And she's one of those girls that don't miss every fight close.
Yes, very experienced, very aggressive. And she never makes – nobody ever looks good against Melissa McMorrow. Nobody has ever fought Melissa McMorrow and said, wow, I look great in that fight. You know, everybody who has beaten her has struggled to beat her. And everybody who has lost to her has had probably – if not the toughest fight of their career, one of the toughest. What do you think about her style, Elena?
I think it's a tough fight for Moreno, correct? She's waiting for that other fight. My hat's off to her for taking this fight, but I definitely, like you said, and anyone who knows about this fight coming up, I think it's going to be an exciting fight, but I don't think it's going to be easy for anyone. So, I think it's just I'm kind of surprised that they would take such a tough fight leading up to the rematch.
That is a great point. That is a great point by Elena. state, because, you know, if the big money fight or the fight that you really want is the one against Jessica Chavez, and you take on a Melissa McMorrow in the interim, that's quite possibly might not be a good idea, right, David?
Yeah, I think she's asking for it. Basically, she not purposely, but basically she's kind of saying, oh, I'll have no trouble. I just need a tune-up fight before I fight Jessica Chavez again. And, I mean, Melissa McMorrow is no tune-up. And that's going to be the right word for it, but let's just say when that fight ends, she may not be the winner because Melissa
yeah.
is right on top of you.
You know, or it could also mean that Esmeralda Moner is so confident in herself
mm-hmm.
that she believes that McMorrow is not going to be a problem, but anybody that sees McMorrow fight knows that she is going to be a problem. It doesn't matter who she faces. She's going to be a problem. One thing that we do know about McMorrow is that she's always in the gym. If you follow her on social media, her and her team out there and the Beautiful Brawlers out there in the San Francisco Bay Area, they're always posting videos of them training and they're sparring on the weekends and stuff like that. And a major player there is always two-time WBO, oh, actually two-time flyweight champion Melissa McMorrow. With that said, we will come back to the female fight chatter, but on the line with us now is two-time bantamweight champion Kalisha West. Let's bring her on to the show. Hello, Kalisha. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing good. Just to correct you, though, it's three-time WBO and ISBA.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's
three
okay.
Three-time bantamweight champion Kalisha West. And if
hey,
you know Kalisha West, she will be one to correct you when you get her her title wins not right. So here we have Kalisha West, three-time bantamweight champion with us. And let me pass the baton, like always, to David Avila, who will start off the interview with us.
Hey, Kalisha, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, David. How are you?
Very good, very good. So you're off the freeway.
Yes, I am safe. I don't like driving and talking on the phone. I get so caught up in my conversations, I start swerving, and I forget that I'm even driving. I'm that person.
So you were also a super bantamweight champion too, right?
Yeah, it was it's three-time bantamweight and then ISBA super bantamweight. So it was a two-division.
So what can the boxing world learn from you today that they didn't know before? It's been a little while since you fought, but you recently signed a promotion contract. What's in store for your fans? You have a lot of fans.
You know, it's funny because some of my fans I remember when I was – time flies. I remember when I was on Facebook, and I remember their names. And they're still there, and they're still tweeting me, and they're still messaging, and I'm just like, wow, this person's been a loyal fan for 8 years. You know, I think about that sometimes, and I am so appreciative of everyone who continues to believe and see the same vision that I see, and that's basically eventually coming to the forefront of women's boxing, getting a televised bout in the United States, and displaying the craft that I've been learning for over 15 years. It's been about 18 years now, so... one thing that I can promise all of my boxing fans out there is I will be going gung-ho to being televised in the United States for, you know, my final fights because I'm getting older. I've had over 100 amateurs, 22 professionals traveled the world, world titles. I've done a lot. There's only so much you can do. Your car's an engine. You can put so many miles on it, you know, and I just want to make sure that one of my main goals in my career is to finish being able to display, you know, my craft on a television network in the United States, on a major television network in the United States. So that's something everyone should look forward to. If I believe it and if they believe it and if the fans believe it, then it will happen.
You mentioned that you fought all over the world. What are some of the places you fought?
Across the nation, and then I've had the opportunity to travel with Keenan Malpartida to Lima, being a good friend of hers and helping her get ready for her world title fight. She took me along
And when I was signed with Hector Garcia in Mexico, I had the opportunity to fight in Manzanillo, down there in Colima, and I even visit Guadalajara area. But then I also fought in Mexicali, Tijuana, and then I even was asked to go down to Europe, so I fought in Denmark. And then my last fight, I was invited to Quebec, Canada. So I had a pretty nice run in with boxing, getting that international experience with the different styles of the different girls, against a Brazilian, and then, you know, European, and then, you know, the Mexican, and whatnot. It's, I can tell you, each country has their own unique style. It's pretty, it was very interesting, and I'm very thankful. It was very humbling.
Let me give you over to Elena, because Elena's also fought abroad in other countries too. What do you think, Elena?
Oh, first, we go back definitely, and you know, I'm always cheering you on. So I'm just glad to have you here with us tonight. My question, and I mean, you've said everything. You have a whole team behind you, and you're out there in LA. You know, not just the females in boxing know who you are, but the male boxers know who you are. You're friends with them. So what are, like, how do we get you on TV? What are your guys' plans? Because you're right there. You know, you really are in the center of boxing, and you have all those things. How do we make that happen?
You know, you can be in the right area, but if you're not at the right place at the right time, it's not going to happen. I was promised TV a couple of times, and I mean, when
yeah.
I say promised, I mean I'm in the dressing room thinking I'm going to be televised
yeah.
in about 30
yeah,
minutes,
no.
and then it didn't end up happening. So
yeah.
I was in the right place at the right time, but it wasn't with the right person. So it's the right place, the right time, the right person, the right circumstance. There's just and now that I'm older, to me it's a piece of paper and it's a promise and it's a contract that this will be televised. And if the contract's not fulfilled, there's consequences. That's not something that I could say the team really thought of or implemented. It was always a handshake. So moving forward, I think with that mindset, it can happen. But again, it's about getting the right person to believe that it is going to be successful if they invest their time and money into televising a female fight. Someone who believes in you as much as you believe in yourself. So it's not something that Team West is always, you know, we were always wanting to go after titles and win and travel. Of course, television is, hey, we should be televised. But I think at the point in time, I'm not getting any younger. You know, we're all not getting any younger. And it's something that I really, my personal goal is to demand it and make it happen and do all that I can to make it happen. And that's just basically going up to the right person and looking them in the face and say, hey, let me put on a show on your card. I promise you, people would love to watch this happen. So you kind of have to have confidence going in there when you talk to these networks and people and promoters when you do that and convince them, just like Ali did. Ali convinced everyone. No one believed Ali was going to be the greatest. No one was, you know, he was the pretty boy, the pretty face coming up, the pretty champion. And he told everybody, I will be this, I am that. And I think it's the same thing. Women have to start taking a stand and saying, hey, I can sell tickets. I can get views. I can box. I can fight. And I will fight. And not being afraid to speak and voice their opinion.
No, we agree. We've talked to women, you know, Hardy, who was just on TV, and she is really known for selling tickets. You know, and one of the things that goes through my head for you is you have fought in Mexico. Is that something that you would do, or have you guys tried, like, you know, it's so popular out there, female boxing, and you have people to fight out there. Have you guys ever thought about, you know, kind of getting as popular as you can out there and then maybe getting more of that base to come home with it? Or is that something that you've just had too many fights, you've done too many things that you just don't want to go that route?
Are you referring to going out there in Heather's area, Heather Hardy's area?
Oh, no. I'm talking about going to Mexico and, you know, kind of becoming – And I know you're already a name out there, but, you know, being a name in Mexico and really kind of running with the boxing out there because it's so popular.
Oh, you know, it's just like in America when you have a local promoter that would, oh, sure, we'll put on a female card, but she's got to live 50 miles this way and the opponent has to be 30 minutes that way because we don't want to pay travel for that. In Mexico, it's the same thing. Just like Ava. Ava went out there and took out the princess, Arlene Mocino, and Ava even got it put in a bum contract with a promoter in Mexico that didn't do much for her. If you're a citizen of the United States, you're no matter what, no matter how good you are, no matter how popular women's boxing, Mexico will always have a female champion that they would want to keep and win the throne. So there's no real root of investment in Mexico. I think there's a lot of smaller promoters that love putting women on the card a lot more than in America. They promote shows, they promote women, and they love it. They'll bring you on. But as far as the top Mexican promoters out there, Zanfer as an example, you know, they have their female champion that they're investing in, that they're putting their time in. And I know this because we've had conversations with these promoters in Mexico, and there's an interest to bring you in as the opponent. You know, there's not an interest to build you up as a star if you're not from Mexico. And it's not that it's the promoters who decline it, but the promoters are all about making money. It's a business, and they don't feel that the fans of Mexico will truly ever embrace and accept someone, a female champion from the States, coming over to Mexico and calling them their own champion. It's just not realistic. So, I mean, I could go over there and fight a couple fights and then fight a big fight with a Mexican champion and whatnot. But I've done that in Europe against Anita. You know, I've had some fights in Mexico, and that's not really the avenue that I can say our team would really want to go with. It's more so women are starting to get popular in the United States. Women are starting to make a breakthrough. Things are starting to change for boxing in the States. We need to help explode but launch. We need to continue to help launch the sport of women's boxing and leave a fashionable mark in people's minds and in people's engraved in people's minds of what their impression is of women's boxing. As it's slowly being launched with Michaela Myers, Clarissa Shields, Heather Hardy, Shalita Vicente, Amanda Serrano, these female boxers who get these art, you know, magazine interviews, photo shoots, the marketing. They're being marketed well.
Do you get that with your new promoter? Are you getting that now? Because are you still with the promoter you signed with not too long ago? And do you think you're going to get that from your new promoter?
It's too early to tell. It's probably only been about 4.5 months. I can't really tell. I know that it was in the contract. It was in the contract. There was promoting and marketing, but there was a family emergency that happened with him. And since then, things slowed down for a bit, but it's only been about 3 to 4 months. I cannot tell.
Yeah. Well, look, I know we've known each other for quite a while, and I just really hope, you know, because you are a great boxer, not just a female boxer, but you're a great boxer, and you are there. So I hope that you do get that break, you know, and I hope this promoter works out for you. But we're always here rooting you on, and so it was just great to talk to you tonight. So thank you.
Thank you, Elena. You too. I've been in the ring with you. I know how good you are.
I know. I know.
When David told me you were going to be on tonight, I was like, yeah, how is she been? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
I couldn't even touch her.
Yeah, I was so excited it's always so nice to see you. So I was wondering why we hadn't had you on yet. You're definitely, like, in my mind, you know, the top percent of the female boxers. So it's really great to have you on tonight.
Thank you. And thank you for having me call in too, David.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Couple more questions, Kalisha. Now, you mentioned the promoter who actually, when he signs you, a couple months, like 4 months ago, he actually went on a little bit of a tear and announced that he has signed Kalisha West, Melissa McMorrow, and I forgot her name, Juarez, the sister of Mariana Juarez. And like you mentioned, mm-hmm. there was some kind of a family issue there. So do you have a date? Do you have a date or do you have somewhat of an idea of when you will be back in the ring? Because it's been more than 2 years since we've seen you in the ring.
Mm-hmm. You know, initially I had a date, and then I was getting ready for that date, and it fell through. After that happened, I kind of stepped aside, and I haven't even been training hard. So now I'm at the point where my dad and my promoter are like, hey, get your butt down and wait, lose this X amount of pounds, you'll get a fight. So it's just a matter of me getting back in shape. Hopefully it'll be once before the year ends. If not, it'll guarantee be in the beginning of next year.
Now, so your last fight was at featherweight, and that didn't end the way you wanted to. Is that a weight class that you absolutely will not step into right now? You're going to go down to 122?
You know, yeah, 126 was – I didn't even want to fight at 126. I wasn't even supposed to fight at 126, but Diana from another – I forget where she was from, Colombia or something, she had some visa issues, so I had to move up and meet at 126. But anywhere between 118 and 122 is where I want to stay. I know that's where – I know I have a runner's body. I have a cross-country body. I don't have a very thick body. And that's where I want to fight at. I shouldn't be any higher than that.
So can we expect you to actually go down to 118 again, or it's going to have to be a little bit over that?
You know, I want to just focus on my CrossFit body percentage, CrossFit training, and then boxing. And then for the first time in my career, I've never done this before. I've never really managed a very professional, strict diet along with very intense CrossFit mixed into boxing. I know I should. It's crazy that I even say that. I always worked like a full-time job and cheated meals here and there. But for the first time, I'm going to implement that in my career because, I'm getting older. I'm more mature. I'm slowing down, and I want this. I want to go out with a bang. I want to surprise a lot of people. So I want to be at the most, the best shape of my life. So, yeah, you probably will see 118. You probably will. We'll see how I feel and where it goes. But it's definitely a goal of mine.
Okay, and my last question, obviously, after 2 years of not being in the ring, and when you do get that date, hopefully it's this year or early in 2017, after that, you're going to look for some names if you want to get on TV. You're going to have to fight a name. Who's that name at 118 or 122 that you would like to face?
Hey, I haven't even been looking around. I don't even know names anymore. It's been 2 years. I was focusing on my personal life. Whatever name there is out there that's out there in the top three, those are the names. And you can list them, David, because I know you know who they are. So 118, 122, top three, I don't know. You know your names. That's who I want to fight. I have to. If I want to try to make the Women's Boxing Hall of Fame, I have to go after those names. So they're on the roster.
Okay, looks like we have a call that wants to come in and join the chat with Kalisha West. It's none other than the president of the Leave It in the New Ring Network, David Duenas. Let me patch him on in if you guys don't mind. David, are you with us?
I'm with you guys. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, David.
So, I've known Kalisha West for quite some time. I've followed her. How you doing, Kalisha?
Hey, I'm doing good. So we sparred. Oh, I think I know who this is.
Okay, so here's my question. the breakthrough was supposed to be when Mosley fought Mora. I don't know if you remember that. Remember that? You got on there. You're on the same card. I think you're like the third fight before the main event. If I'm correct,
mm-hmm.
right?
That was the second fight of the night.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. How much – because when we've saw the transition with women fighters now, it just seems like there's more money going in for women to go into, like, the UFC or MMA why haven't you done that? Like, oh, well, why haven't you encouraged other women to make that jump? Since there seems to be more respect. I mean, we see Kalisha Shields finally gets on the Ring magazine cover, but that was right after the fact that Ronda Rousey got on there. You know what I mean? And to me, that was a major slap to women fighters of the world, because you had a lot of great fighters that women that laced up gloves, but nobody would give you guys that respect.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot more credit should be given to Ronda Rousey than there is because of her getting knocked out by Holly Holm. I think a lot of female fighters need to be very thankful for what she did. She generated a popularity of seeing a woman hit and get hit that like no other, that there hasn't been in a very, very long time. When I was on Golden Boy's card, there was no Ronda Rousey. There was no major breakthrough. There was none of that. And as a matter of fact, when I was on that card, I was the only one promoting myself. My team was promoting me. I had a spot on the card. Yeah, but that's about it. Did you see my fight on TV? No, it wasn't televised. So it was supposed to be a major breakthrough. You're absolutely correct. But I did my job. You know, I showed up for weigh-ins. I made my weight. I knocked her out. I did what I had to do. They didn't do what they had to do. They didn't televise it. I didn't even get a televised interview, and I was the only world title that night. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was poorly promoted. It wasn't
supported. Then why the face?
But there was no Ronda Rousey back then. There was no proof of what women are capable of doing and generating, and the fans, that the fan base was out there. So the boxing, you know, Golden Boy Promotions just were kind of hesitant, you know, not really wanting to take a dive like that. I was very thankful for even being on the card with Legends. But that really, I can't say that was ever a breakthrough, because it wasn't.
Right. So my question is, why is the phrase with any promoters? I mean, even with PBC, I know that Heather did, like, you know, she was the main event, but not right now with PBC. Right now we're only seeing maybe one or two fights. And the way it looks like, the money's running out. So there's not a whole lot of push. Why would you want to continue? Let me ask you this. Why would you continue to tell young women to get in this sport of boxing when really it's really hard to say that there's any like glory down that road?
Well, because it's a very slow and gradually steady pace. But it is only going upward. I don't see it going down. You know, you see, it's slow, and I might not even see it in my era of being active. But, you know, you start just like Billie Jean King back in the day with tennis, and I like to always use this as an analogy. You know, she demanded it. She challenged a man. It broke through. Now you're seeing women's tennis players all the time on TV, and it's equal. With women's boxing, it is the same thing. It's still so new. I wish I knew the numbers and the years, but there's a female boxer who is the very first ever female boxer, and she's still alive. You know, this is in the 70s where they finally let her compete in the 70s. So it's so very new, and it's gradually becoming more and more accepted. It's not even a matter of being popular. It's being accepted. You know, gays are now able to marriage. You're now legally allowed to do, you know, whatever it is that you want to do that promotes equality. So when it comes to sports, for boxing, the reason why I would encourage women to continue is because one thing you'll notice are these viral videos of these 8-year-old girls and these 9-year-old and 12-year-old girls who are throwing 100 punches a second, and they're going viral. Those little girls need to keep doing what they're doing, because in 10 years, I feel and I know that women are going to be equally accepted. All of the weight classes will hopefully be open in the Olympics for all of the women to compete, and it will now be accepted as athletes rather than just a female boxer, but an athlete boxer, not a female boxer, just a boxer.
Right.
So I haven't seen it going downhill. If it was going downhill, I would say, hey, just make sure you have a side job, make sure you're in college, make sure you've got a plan B and C and D. But I see nothing but opportunity and it's just massively growing little by little, and a lot of people, Close to Shield is doing an amazing job putting not just women's boxing, but how well, what we're capable of doing on the map. She's a great fighter and deserves to be in the predicament, and any article that's written on her, she deserves all of that. So I'm glad that that's happening, and I hope it continues to happen to any female fighter, any female boxer who's doing well for themselves.
Well, I'm glad to see that you're still involved with the game and all that. I mean, like I said, I've known you for a long time, and your dad, and I've watched you. And it's refreshing to still see that you have such a positive attitude about the sport, which, because if I was in your shoes, man, I don't know how positive I would be. But glad to see you're still in the mix, you know?
Yeah, thank you. No, thank you. It's not, you know what it is? I'm more positive for the future than I can say for myself.
Right.
I am a little bitter. I am actually very bitter about how it is for myself, because when I'm going to a press release and I'm getting pushed back or pushed out or asked, where are your credentials? How are you here? And here I am, a four-time, two-division world champion. That hurts, you know?
Right.
It hurts, because it's like, here's a Joe Schmuckatelli who's been a photographer for 2 months with a pretty face who walks right in because they have a little piece of paper that says that they write for so-and-so magazine. And here you have a
Absolutely.
World champion who has devoted 18 years of their life, more than half of their life, into this sport and knows way more about this photographer, and they're having a hard time walking in to a Sean Porter press release. So, yes, I am bitter about it. I am very bitter about it when it comes to me and what I've done and what my team has done and what my dad did for me. The only bitterness I can admit that to have is the respect. It lacks respect. I don't want to be a slideshow. I don't want to be a model. I don't want to be an act. I don't want to be a pretty girl. I want to be well known as a strategic, great fighter who knows how to properly throw a 1-2 hook. You know, I want to be known for that. I want to be known for a fighter who knows their science and their craft and who's good at it. So that's the only bitterness that goes on, but I have accepted it. I don't hold grudges, and I see opportunity for the future and the girls and the youth that's forever growing. So that's why I still keep my chin up when it comes to boxing.
Well, you know, I mean, when Felipe came to me about this, about doing the 2-minute round, you know, when I started doing media, I think I was the only one at the time that was doing Ladies Night on Leaving the Ring, which was strictly contributed to female fighters, and you were like one of my first guests. So I'm happy that we're still continuing this to giving you guys recognition, because I honestly believe that you guys have made your part to boxing, whether you're male or female. So I'm glad to still hear that you're involved with it. I'm glad to see that you're still in the mix, and I'm really, really proud of the fact that you came on the 2-minute round under the Leaving the Ring Network. So I want to thank you. And I'm going to let you guys go. It's a great show. Felipe, Baby Reed, David Avila, you guys keep it going, man. You guys have a great night.
You too. Thank you for always being supportive. Have a good night.
So there you have it. The main guy for the Leaving in the Ring Network, David Duenas, making a surprise visit here on the 2-minute round. But David Avila has a couple more questions for Miss Kalisha Wild Wild West. Go ahead, David.
So I wanted to... Kalisha to let people know about her history in boxing, because a lot of people thought that she just jumped on it like a Johnny Come Lately, but her family was involved in boxing. Why don't you tell people when you first went to a boxing match?
You mean when my dad was boxing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so boxing has always been a part of my life ever since, I don't know, as long as I could even remember, because my dad was an All-Navy champion, and he was that fighter who was tough as nails, that would fight anybody, and just was poorly managed. So he fought over Carr. He fought tough fights where he was in as the opponent, and he'd go toe-to-toe with him, and they would, you know, wow, Juan West, they call him Wild Wild West. So my first fight, I remember it was like in a gym-looking area, and my dad was fighting pro, and I was like 7 years old, And I remember watching his fight, and I didn't want anybody, I don't know why I was thinking like this, I was a little kid, but I was thinking, I don't want anyone to know that I'm a baby, and I want people to know, I know what I'm looking at. So when he was fighting, I was going, come on, what? Go, 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 and I kept calling my dad by his first name. I keep calling him Juan, but I was like, go, Juan, go, go. And I just remember, like, watching a fight and just being super, super excited, watching him fight, super intrigued over the sport. And that was just in grade school.
Didn't your dad fight at the Olympic?
The Olympic Auditorium. Olympic Auditorium, yeah. But that, I don't think he could hear me in that one.
Oh.
That was that. Yeah, he couldn't hear me there. That was with the commentator who's well known. I forget his name. I'm not good with names. He was the ring announcer for his fight that night. And then not only that, I just was looking at a picture of me sitting with Joe Frazier when I was 11 years old, and my dad was starting to bring me in on the scene. Of boxing, and I was just a little girl, like, shaking hands with everyone. Wow, cool, you're a boxer. Believe it or not, Ava Velez was one of them that I got to meet when I was still a little young buck, and I just remember thinking, wow, I want to be like her. I want to be a champion like Ava Velez. I thought her, I met her and Belinda when I was 15. So it's just crazy how time flies, and I ended up being in the ring with her. Isn't that crazy? I was like, oh, my God, I'm facing you. I was just looking up to her 10 years ago. Yeah, pretty interesting.
Yeah, time flies.
All right, so there you have it, folks, with us on the two-minute round, Kalisha West. Kalisha, we'd like to thank you for taking the time and being on the show with us, and hopefully when you get that date, hopefully later on this year, you let us know and we can get you back on the show.
All right, will do. Thanks a lot for having me, and thanks for continuing to support Women's Boxing. Good to hear from you, Elena.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
Yeah, have a good night, y'all.
Thank you. Good night. And whether you had it, two divisional, four-time world champion, Kalisha Wild Wild West on the show with us tonight, giving us some very good insight of her career, her past in boxing, and what is next for her. One thing about Kalisha, she has always been very outspoken about her role and women's role in boxing in general, and she's not afraid to speak her mind as far as what she thinks needs to happen in the boxing world.
Yeah, you know, it's unknown to many, but Elena Reed and Kalisha did an exhibition together. That's what they were talking about. It was way back, maybe about 2004 or something like that. Maybe about
Where was the exhibition at, or what was it for?
It was in El Monte.
What's that?
It was in El Monte in a bowling alley. There was a fight card.
Wow.
And I think Elena's opponent dropped out or something like that.
Yeah, no, I was supposed to have a fight, but it must have backed out from my promoter. You know, I needed to stay active, and so he found me an exhibition to do, and so we made that happen. I did want to say, you know, one thing. It was really nice of David to call in, but something I think that you should tell young females, and usually by the time that they're boxing, it's not telling them to get into it or not to get into it. Female boxing reminds me of boxing's past when – in boxing, people weren't making millions of dollars. You know, they weren't always on TV, but it was still very active. There was a lot of male boxers out there. There was a lot of respect, but there wasn't a lot of money. And they did it because they loved it. And that's why women do it. You know, the only thing that kept you going is really, like, of course, we were all athletes and we wanted to be great, but we loved it. I was fortunate enough, you know, to have all those experience of ESPN and Plays of the Day and to travel the world that maybe I wasn't making millions of dollars, but the book that I could write, the experiences that I had, I would definitely tell someone if they wanted to do it that I would help them out and get them into it. But, yeah, there's going to be heartaches in it and, you know, just like Kalisha was saying, in boxing, people know who I am, but the people working the boxing don't always know who I am, which is funny, because I don't always get the respect that maybe I should deserve. So it is tough, but it's really learning to respect yourself and know what you've done and to be proud. But at the same time, we're all very humble in the sport, right? Most of us, at least, I would say most fighters are the most humble people you've ever met. All these accomplishments that we do and everything else, it's wonderful and something that we can tell people about, but we're still just people doing something that we love. And that's why for any females, males, whatever, if you get into boxing, it shouldn't just be about the money. It's something you got to love because it's a tough thing to do.
Mm-hmm. I think that in the United States, we're a little bit of a, you know how everything is cyclical, it goes up and then it comes down and it's supposed to go up again. And I think that's where we're at right now in female boxing in the United States, because I think when Elena, when you were fighting, you were getting on those ESPN cards, and, you know, at least Christy Martin was also on those pay-per-view cards. Mia St. John, you know, a lot of people back when, with Mia St. John, it wasn't the same. You know, when a lot of people now talk about Mia St. John, and nothing to take away from her, she's a great fighter, a great veteran, a lot, you know, a world champion and everything. But a lot of people, whenever they mention Mia St. John, they mention Butterbean in the same sentence, you know, of those undercards,
well,
those top ranks.
She was known for being in Playboy, too. I have a lot of respect for her, but it was different. She promoted herself in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd be at a lot of her fights because she'd fight here in Phoenix in my hometown, and people would have their Playboys out for her to sign, and which was fine, you know, because that was her thing, but it was at a time to where if you were a woman and you could find, like, a niche, right, then you could, the promoters would put you on. I don't know how I got on. I feel that I was very lucky. You know, maybe people thought I was attractive and, you know, I liked to fight. I think I put on exciting fights. But maybe it was just the time, like Felicia was saying, you just have to be in the right place at the right time. I think, you know, you just have to have a positive attitude with the promoters. And you have to talk to the promoters. You have to go to events. And you do have to promote yourself in that way.
And so, like, what I was saying is that, you know, that was kind of a little bit of a heyday from female boxing, fights on ESPN, you know, Ann Wolf fighting on ESPN, you fighting on ESPN and things like that. And now we're kind of like on the downside of it, on the other side of that hill, and we're waiting to get back on top of it, at least in the United States. And we are starting to see a little bit of it with Heather Hardy and hopefully a couple more fights coming up on American or U.S. television. But I think it's going to come up, like Kalisha said, all these little girls that you see on social network posting their videos and stuff like that. I think that when they mature and they become, you know, adults and they can go pro, I think they're the ones that are going to be on U.S. TV, hopefully in a couple of years. But right now, unfortunately for like the likes of Ava Knight and Kalisha West and some other names out there that came to their pro career or in this time, they might not get the opportunity to you know, fulfill that dream of fighting in the United States. Hopefully it does happen for Kalisha. She said that that is something that she wants to do before she retires, and hopefully she gets it done.
Yeah, no, I really hope so, because it is like, you know, why aren't these girls getting those opportunities? Because they are exciting and they would put on a good fight. So I really hope that this promoter works out for her or whatever arrangement that is. I don't know too much about it, but, you know, hopefully that unfolds to be something that's fruitful for her.
Well, we're going to move on here on the two-minute round, your Hooks and Jabs look at the female fight world on the Leave It in the Ring Network. This is a show that we talk about all about female boxing every other week here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. Just to let you guys know, our next show will be on October 6th. 7 p.m. Pacific here on the Leave It in the Ring. Never, if you'd like to call in and join the talk, you can do so at 347-215-7598, 347-215-7598. But in more female fight chatter this week, in a post on her social account, WBC Silver Flyweight Champion Raja Amashe, originally of Jordan but living and fighting out of Germany, announced she'll be facing WBC Silver Junior Flyweight Champion Ana Arrazola in Vienna on October 22nd. She also mentioned on that same post that this fight will be the first fight of the proposed flyweight tournament that was talked about by WBC President Mauricio Suleiman earlier this year at the female convention here in Tijuana, Mexico. We mentioned this tournament before. It was announced this past January here in Tijuana at the second annual WBC female boxing convention that Mauricio Suleiman was trying to put on a tournament in the flyweight division, which some of the participants could be, you know, Ava Knight, Raja Amashe, Ana Arrazola, Jessica Chavez, La Roca Zamora, Melissa McMorrow, among a few others. And it looks like Raja Amashe, as far as she's known, as far as she announced, this will be the first fight of that tournament. Nothing has been announced by the WBC, but she did announce that she will be fighting Ana Arrazola, a southpaw out of Mexico City, on October 22nd in Vienna, Austria.
We're also scheduled to have Noemi Bosquez on our show just before her fight on the Christy Martin show.
Yeah, wow. I think that Christy Martin show is on October 15th, so we're going to have Noemi Bosquez, who's going to be fighting a woman by the, I forgot her first name, but her last name is Rodriguez, and they're going to be fighting for the vacant NABF bantamweight title. So we're going to have the Puerto Rican out of Miami, Noemi Bosquez, on October 6th, our next show here at the 2-Minute Round on the Leave It in the Ring Network, so stay tuned for that. It is rumored that Sanford Promotions is working on an all-female fight card scheduled for late October in Hermosillo, Sonora, Mexico. Obviously, it will be televised by the second largest network in Mexico, the Azteca Channel. No word on who will be featured on the card, although talk is that Sanford is trying to pressure Jackie Nava, who is training, to make a comeback. One that has confirmed her participation is former amateur standout Solima Urbina, who will be making her second pro fight versus to be announced. A TBA on that card. So no news yet from Sanford on who else is going to be on that card, but I have seen some pictures and some video of Jackie Nava training at her gym here in Tijuana. Obviously, she is still a congresswoman or a senator or a some kind of political office here in Mexico. but she trained. I would imagine she's training in Mexico City on her off time from the Senate, and then obviously when she's here in Tijuana on the weekends. She is training here in Tijuana because I believe in that article that I wrote about her some months ago, she is in Mexico from Sunday night or Monday morning until about Thursday, and then she comes back to Tijuana to be with her family and obviously train at her gym. So she is, I believe, and she did announce, I think, at a fight card a couple of months ago here in Tijuana that she will be making a return. But she did not mention at what weight class, if she's going to be at 122 or 126. But if Jackie Nava returns and she's able to face anybody in that division at least in two or three more fights, it's going to heat up. I mean, at featherweight, imagine her facing Amanda Serrano or, you know, Heather Hardy or one of these, or Jelena. I mean, that's going to be some great, great fights if she decides to come back at featherweight.
Yeah. She's been up for a little while, though. What is it going to be, 2 years or?
She's been out. Yeah, I think it has been a little bit. Let me. It's been since 2000. Was it 2015? Her last fight was in March of 2015, I believe. Yes. No, it was February 28th. Yeah, about a year and a half she's been out. It was on February 28th, 2015, here in Rosarito, where she defeated Argentinian Mayra Alejandra Gomez in a technical knockout. Also announced, female middleweight Marisela Cornejo will be fighting on the Velasco Theater card presented by Golden Boy Promotions in downtown L.A. I'm sure that Mr. David Avila, our co-host here on the 2-Minute Round, is going to be there, so he's going to tell us all about it on October 2nd. So that's going to be the night after our next show on October 6th. More surprisingly, and this is where I want to get Elena's opinion, is that she's going to be facing veteran Elisa Olsen, who has now fought in over 10 years. Do you know this name? Do you remember this fighter, Elena?
Can you say the name again?
Elisa Olsen.
You know, I don't, it doesn't ring a bell.
Say again, David?
Elizabeth Olsen. She also won by that too.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
it doesn't ring a bell for me.
She's from the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah, okay. 10-5 with 3 draws, 2 knockouts. Mostly fought in the lightweight or welterweight division. She's going to be going over up at. I believe they're going to fight. I mean, I don't know exactly the weight that she's going to be fighting at, but I believe they're going to be fighting between super welterweight and middleweight. Marisela Cornejo, we've had her on the show in one of the our first show. But Alyssa Olsen, 10-5, 3 draws, only 2 knockouts. But she fought some fighters. She fought Mary Jo Sanders at one point. She lost to her in a unanimous decision. But she's coming off 2 wins. But they were back in 2005 and 2006.
Wow.
So after 10 years, she is making a comeback. So, Elena, there's still hope for you yet.
I'm telling you, you make the match. Give me a year.
A year? A year?
Well, yeah.
The little boy just had a birthday today.
Yes. Oh, it was on Sunday. Yeah, my little son turned 4, so.
There you go.
I need them both to be in school, and then I'll be on that.
Marisela, even though she hasn't fought in 10 years, I mean, we could say it's somewhat of a little step up. Marisela Cornejo only 4-2 with 2 knockouts. You know, basically she has never fought anybody with this much experience. Her most experienced fight has been against Kali Reeves, which the fight we spoke to her about, which happened back in April 16th, where she ended up losing a very split decision for the WBC middleweight title. So now she's going to be fighting a 40-year-old with a 10-5 record. I mean, not to take anything away from a 40-year-old, because I'm around that age as well. But, you know, one thing about Alyssa Olsen is that she is from that same camp, that Beautiful Brawlers camp in San Francisco Bay, in the Bay Area, like David mentioned, which also includes Melissa McMorrow and includes the heavyweight, David, what's her name?
Martha Salazar.
Martha Salazar. She's always part. She's also part of that camp, and a huge number of amateurs. So she's coming from a good camp. She's coming from a camp that is giving her good sparring and keeping her active. So I think it's going to be a good fight on October 7th. Obviously, you can catch that on Ring TV or on the 3TV app. So that's gonna be a good fight on October 7th, and we'll talk about it a little bit more on our next show, October 6th. And now thinking about it, David, I don't know if it's gonna be tough, but maybe we could try to get Elisa Olsen on the show. It's gonna be around this time. They should have already weighed in, so maybe we could get her on her. I'm gonna try to get her on her, and she could talk to us about the fight the next night and about her coming back. What do you think about that?
Oh, that'll be good. We'll have her and Noemi.
And we'll have Noemi. Yeah, we'll have her and Noemi both guests at the same time, at the same show.
Yeah.
So we're going to step it up here on the 2-minute round.
Yeah, it'd be interesting because, I mean, how can you not think, like, did she come back for this fight or was she always coming back? Did she see this as an easy fight? Like, because that fight had, like, a big question mark on it. You know,
yeah,
like,
I think
we really don't know what's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to get her to talk to us on that day. Go ahead, David.
And I'm sure the commission would have to have taken a look at her, because the California commission would not automatically sanction a fight like that unless
you're
they
right.
were convinced she's able to fight.
Yeah, and she has to go through all the medicals, and they actually do a little bit more extensive medicals. I think the California State Commission is starting to follow the Las Vegas or the Nevada State Commission, where if you're over 35, Elena, listen to this. If you're over 35, you got to take more extensive.
I'm not there yet.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We can't wait a year because if you get over 35, they want to do more extensive testing.
Okay. I'll think about
more,
it.
Okay. Let me talk to your husband. Let him get on our side, and maybe he convinces you.
Trust me, you're better off talking to me. But yeah,
did you?
Definitely.
Just not to get too personal, Elena. But did you meet your husband before or after your boxing career?
No, it was actually during. And funny enough, the first time I met him, I was in my boxing gym, and he came out there. And then when I came back to Phoenix, I started training at his gym, but he was a big boxing fan, so that helped, right? traveled the same cars in MMA, funny enough, which was interesting.
Okay, so he's a former MMA fighter. Now, this just in, this has just been announced since we started the show, but IBF female featherweight champion Jennifer Han of El Paso will defend her world title against mandatory challenger Lilian Martinez of the Dominican Republic on Saturday, October 15th. It's there in El Paso at the Don Hoskins Center. I think this fight, we had talked about it before and that it was in the works, but now it has been made official. And Jennifer Han back in the ring on October 15th, defending her IBF featherweight title.
Great.
Yeah, and then
she's had a couple of fights.
Yeah, and let me check real quick. I know that she defended her title already once. So I want to see if this is her second defense of her title. Let me check real quick. The title. This is her third defense of the title.
And then she's had a couple fall out, not for any, I forget the reason, but a couple fell out, not because of her, but they just fell out.
Jennifer Han is 33 years old. I thought she was a lot younger than that because she looks very young. You know how they say about Asians, they look very young. And I think she was like 26, 27. She's actually 33. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, because we came up together, and that is young.
Yeah, her brother. I haven't heard much from her. Haven't heard much from her brother, too, A.B. Han, who was a pretty good prospect, had some pretty good fights, but they were huge kickboxing fighters as well.
Yes.
Yep.
And I think
you have another sister, a younger one.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Mm-hmm. Is she an amateur right now?
No, I think she stopped boxing. Her name is Heather Han.
Heather Han?
Pretty good, too. Yeah, she actually fought Sunisa Estrada in the amateurs.
In the amateurs? Oh. And lastly, in the female fight chatter, not to do with professional fighting, but I thought it was an interesting note, West Point Academy will now require their female cadets to box. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but, the armed forces have actually passed a rule that females can now be in the front lines. They're going to be part of the front lines, as a Marine or as an Army or whatever. And the West Point Academy, which is the premier school for people in the military, people that want to be officers in the military, I believe, they go to the West Point Academy and they do their university, quote-unquote, years there, and they turn out to be officers for whatever a branch of the armed forces they decide to join. Well, now the female cadets, before it was an elective for the female cadets, now it's going to be a requirement for their curriculum to be in the boxing class.
Wow.
Now,
that's great.
Now one thing that is kind of alarming is that in the last five years, I don't know if it's been the 5 years that they've had the class, male or female, but at least in the last 5 years, they have reported 185 concussions during the class. So go ahead.
They need new teachers. I think maybe they need new teachers.
Yes, they need new teachers. Or they need to look into that headgear because that's a lot of concussions for a female. Imagine like Elena, you train at a boxing gym. And imagine that if a boxing gym, I mean, they're sparring almost every day. Maybe not the same fighters, but they're sparring every day at the boxing gyms and stuff like that. Imagine if they were getting 185 concussions in 5 years, they would close down the gym. So I agree with you. They need to look into that. And the other thing that's going to be – go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, in boxing, male or female, and it's different gym to gym, but even when I'm watching fighters star and they're getting hit repeatedly, usually stop it. You know, it's about
And lastly, to finish off that note, Elena, the female's doing 2-minute rounds. So not even the military believes in the 3-minute round. Elena.
Oh,
so
that's gonna help him with combat, I'm sure. Why? I don't even understand why, but that's okay. Whatever.
Well, and on another note, and we have not mentioned, actually, David mentioned it in his call, David Dueñas, the president of the Leave It in the Ring Network. Clarissa Shields, the two-time, the only Is she the only two-time? The only two-time American boxer, male or female, to ever win two gold medals in two different Olympics, 2012 and 2016. Sugar Ray Leonard didn't do it. Oscar De La Hoya didn't do it. Muhammad Ali didn't do it. Andre Ward didn't do it. All these that I mentioned, former U.S. gold medalists, they did not win two back-to-back gold medals in any Olympics. The only one, Clarissa Shields, is on the cover of this week, of this month's Ring magazine. And in our last show, on our episode 12, I had asked for my co-host here to watch the documentary T-Rex, which is about Clarissa Shields. And lo and behold, that's why Elena Baby Doll Ring became a boxer, because she does not do her homework. And David Avila, David Avila is a college-educated man, and he did not do his homework. So we're going to leave that discussion for our next show, which will be October 6th, hopefully from here on out. You guys can watch it, and we can discuss it, because Clarissa Shields on the cover of Ring Magazine. I have not been able to pick up the issue, which I am going to do. I want to read it. I'm almost positive that Thomas Grisaldi, what's his name, David? The writer who writes female boxing for The Ring? Gervasi? I'm not 100% sure. I'm sure that he's the one that wrote the interview, probably.
Probably.
All right, so let's move on to the final stretch here of the two-minute round. You're at Hooks and Jabs. Look at the female fight world every other week on the Leave It in the Ring Network. If you want to give us a call in the last stretch of it and touch on any of the subjects that we have talked about in the last about hour and 20 minutes, you can do so at 347-215-7598. But we're going to give you the upcoming calendar, which is not too much here in the fall, or at least in the next couple of weeks. In the female fight world, but we do have a couple of huge fights happening in the next couple of weeks. Starting on Saturday, September 24th, from the Oasis Hotel in Cancun, Mexico, and televised on Televisa, the biggest network in Mexico, the biggest television network. Lourdes Pequeña Lulu Juarez, the sister of Mariana La Barbie Juarez, will be facing Yesenia Gomez in an 8-rounder in a junior flyweight division. So now Juarez has actually moved away from the 4-rounders, is actually fighting in 8-rounders as she's gaining experience and hopefully on her way to fighting for her first world title somewhere down the line. So that is this Saturday, September 24th, from Cancun, Mexico, on Televisa. On Saturday, October 1st, it's reported on BoxRec, but I'm not 100% sure. I have not seen anything in the internet or in the news, but it looks like in Germany, Alicia Graf is coming back against the feared TBA, Tiffany Bess Anderson, in a scheduled 10-rounder at bantamweight. So we don't know if that is actually a fight that's going to happen, but it is scheduled on BoxRec from Germany on October 1st. And from the Centro Regional de los Deportes in Ecatepec, Mexico, Promociones del Pueblo, on Televisa again. So for 2 weekends in a row. And did we have – no, not in the last couple of weeks, but – the next 2 weekends, this Saturday and the following Saturday, we're going to have female fights on the biggest network in Mexico. This one is going to be Jessica La Kika Chavez defending her WBC flyweight title against Japan's Naoko Fujioka in a scheduled 10-rounder. And this is a fight that Jessica Chavez gets to take before she faces Esmeralda Moreno in a rematch. And like we mentioned before, Esmeralda Moreno will be facing Melissa McMorrow on October 22nd. So, David.
Naoko can fight. I can see her beating.
Yeah. 15-1, 6 knockouts. Her only loss coming to Susie Ketikian back in 2014. She beat Mariana Juarez in early 2015. I think she knocked her out. No, it was a split decision. That was the other one. And then she just beat back in June. She just beat Shindo Go for the WBO female bantamweight title. So she's a WBO 118-pound title, and she's going to come down to 112
Wow.
She's going to come down to 112 and fight Kika Chavez. So, like Elena said, this might not be the best bet for Kika Chavez for Moreno fighting Melissa McMorrow.
Maybe that rematch isn't taken so seriously? Like, is it not? I mean, it's just kind of beyond me that maybe it's not that big of a deal, you know, they're kind of just going their own ways.
41 years old, this Fuyuoka, and in her sixth fight, get this, David and Elena, on her sixth fight back in 2011, she beat the current, who's considered the best 105-pounder in the world right now, Anabella Avispa Ortiz. She stopped her back in Japan in her sixth fight back in 2011. So, you know, her only loss, a unanimous decision loss in Germany against Susie Katikian. And I believe this will be her third time fighting out of her native Japan. Her first fight out of Japan was against Katikian in 2014 in Germany. Then in 2015, she was in Mexico to beat Mariana Juarez via split decision. And now she's going to be in Mexico again on October 1st, facing Jessica La Kika Chavez. I'll be able to watch this fight live. I'll send you guys the link so you guys can see it, and then we can talk about it on our next show, October 6th. That fight is on October 1st. And the other huge fight on October 1st, from the Spectrum in Norway, the first fight in Norway, the first boxing fight in Norway, nearly 30 years after the sport was banned in that country, but now it's back. It was made legal again in 2014, but nobody has staged a fight just yet, and it had to be none other than undisputed. Well, I'm not going to say undisputed because David Avila is going to say that Layla MacArthur is, but she is the undisputed welterweight champion of the world, holding the WBC, WBA, IBF, WBO, IBO. I mean, I'm not going to announce Mike Tyson here. I'm now announcing Cecilia Breakhouse, who's going to be fighting Ann Sophie Mathis in a rematch on October 1st. At the Spectrum in her home country in Norway. Well, that's where she grew up. She's originally born in that's October 1st. October 1st.
Oh, okay. Our show will be after her fight then.
Yeah, so we'll talk about her fight on October 6th. I'm sure that we're going to find the link. It's going to be televised.
Well, maybe
we can
get her on the show too.
What? Wow. We get all these, man. Oh, my head's going to explode, let alone Elena. And lastly, another fighter that is scheduled on BoxRec, but not 100% sure if that fight's going to happen, also on October 1st, from Flint, Michigan, Alicia Ashley is scheduled to defend her WBC Super Bantamweight title against the feared Tiffany Bess Anderson, TBA, on October 10th, so we don't know if that fight's going to happen or not. But those are the fights that are scheduled for the next couple of weeks, with the big ones being Jessica Chavez against Naoko Fuyoka. On paper, quite possibly a Fight of the Year candidate. And obviously the rematch between Cecilia Breakhouse against Anne-Sophie Mathis. Our next show, October 6th, here on the 2-Minute Round. Hopefully we're going to get Noemi. Well, Noemi Bosquez is confirmed for that show. And I'm going to try to go after Elisa Olsen to see if we can talk to her after her weigh-in, but before her fight against Maricela Cornejo, scheduled for October 7th at the Belasco Theater. With that said, any final thoughts, Mr. David Avila?
Well, there's a lot of fights that are going to be very interesting the next coming weeks. And it looks like female boxing is heating up.
Elena, your final thoughts?
Oh, I was just thinking, with all the fights we talked about, there's a lot of you know, females in their 40s and older that are at the top of the game. So that's pretty amazing to me. I never really thought about that until just now.
That sounds good to me, Elena, because that makes you get those wheels turning inside your head.
What am I doing?
Yeah, hey, little $3,000-$5,000 a fight here and there. It can't hurt anybody. Obviously, after you give David and myself our cut, you know, you can get a little bit of change there.
It brings me back memories, right?
All righty. Well, with that said, we'd like to thank all of you guys for listening to our 13th episode here on the 2-Minute Round, even though we are not getting a lot of callers or any callers, but we know that you guys are out there listening, and we thank you. for that. We also would like to thank four-time world champion in two separate divisions, Miss Kalisha Wild Wild West, for joining us here. And we will see you again 7 p.m. Pacific time on October 6th for the next episode of the 2-Minute Round. Good night.
Good night. So.
I'm going to do something that close to me.